This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Temple B'nai Israel in Kalamazoo is celebrating its 150th anniversary this year. A series of events are planned for June 10th through 12th. We're going to spend some time examining the history of the Reformed Jewish community in the greater Kalamazoo area with two members of Temple B'nai Israel's congregation, Ray Ziering and Jacob Weintraub. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, yes.
Let's start back in the 1860s. How big was the Jewish community in this area at that time?
You know, the Jewish community really started in the 1840s with Manus Israel. He was the first recorded Jew that came into the area. He was a merchant. And then following him in the 1840s and 50s, a number of other Jews who became prominent in the Jewish community came. By the 1860s, there were 22 founding members of the congregation. Now, there may have been other Jewish families in the area that perhaps didn't join, but we don't know that. So by the 1860s, there were approximately 20-some-odd families, and they wanted to have a proper burial place. They wanted to have consecrated ground for their loved ones. And so that was the impetus that got the first group to get together.
So the main interest being a proper place to bury the dead.
Yes, in 1865, I think it was December 1865, they got together and purchased property at Mountain Home Cemetery on West Main, and it was consecrated in that January. The congregation really was incorporated the following year, 1866. So that's the date that we talk about when we say we're 150 years old, is from 1866.
And that area on West Main that you talk about, what would you see there today?
You would see a historic cemetery. I mean, Jacob is our caretaker, custodian. What would you call your title?
More of a manager, maybe.
Okay.
I'm responsible for making sure the maintenance gets done, selling plots if people want them, answering questions about historical, we'll have families come through from time to time. Yeah, and that was really established in December of 1865, even before the temple itself was organized.
But if you want to know what you'll find there, you'll find really almost all of the original settlers to Kalamazoo were buried, the Jewish settlers are buried there of the Reform Movement. So you have a lot of the prominent names. If you go through our history, so you have the Desenbergs, and you have the Rosenbaums, and you have the Foles, and you have Cohens, and you have Stearns, all of these names who were the business people of Kalamazoo. They're all buried there. Beautiful old stones. Some of them are so faded that you'd really almost have to rub them to be able to see what they are. In our cemetery also is the grave of Edward Israel. What was the expedition to
I should know that, and I can't Arctic. I've seen it, and I can't
Perry,
remember.
Admiral Perry.
There's a historical marker.
There is.
Yeah, there's
correct.
A historical.
A historical marker right on West Main, and his grave is just in the cemetery. Some of the original members, the stones have writing in German because they were largely German immigrants, the merchants and others.
So are people surprised when they find out? I have to admit I was a little surprised when I read this, that the first synagogue in Michigan, as we now know it, was actually built in Kalamazoo.
Well, you know, it was a surprise to us, too. We didn't know it. I mean, we knew that our temple was very old, and we were extremely proud. At least I've always adored the photograph of the South Street Temple. It was, to me, just a little jewel. But we didn't realize that we were the first congregation in the state to build a separate building to serve as a synagogue. Otherwise, the smaller congregations were either in storefronts or in personal homes as we began. That was discovered by a person from Detroit, actually. What was his name, Jacob?
Richard Cavalier.
Yes.
Was a member of one of the very large conservative congregations in suburban Detroit now. And he was looking around. He found on our website that this first temple was dedicated. And I can't remember, it was 18, 75?
1875, correct.
And he sent us a note and he called. In fact, I wound up talking to him. And he said, if this is true, it changes life as we know it. And up until that point, Congregation Sherat Tzedek in Detroit had claimed to have the first building. And he was the one who did all the research. He went through the archives at the Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati and what archives they had in the Detroit area, and found, in fact, that was when our first temple was dedicated, and that was the first one in the state.
So over the years, where did people with Temple B'nai Israel worship in Kalamazoo? Because, of course, people know that synagogue is no longer there. So give us maybe a brief history of kind of where people ended up over the years worshiping and meeting.
Well, originally they started in people's homes until they had enough finances to build the first temple on South Street. Now, I'd like to talk about where the temple was on South Street. It's kind of like South Street and Farmers Alley. There's that big parking ramp. That is roughly the location on the parking ramp side where it was. After they decided that they needed to move on because the building was getting too old, in 1911, they built a temple on Park Street. That was more modern. That was really very modern. It had Grecian columns. It was just a very big structure. That is between Walden and Dutton. Now, both of those properties are no longer there. The congregation started to, we had some very prominent rabbis, and of course rabbis come and go, you know, like anything else. After this last rabbi left at that period, the congregation fell into a slump. They couldn't really find any rabbi to come. Congregation kept getting smaller. That's when they decided that they couldn't afford to have the Park Street Synagogue any longer. At that point, it was about 1945. It was sold to the Congregation of Moses, which is a conservative congregation. Okay, at that point, we went into People's Church for a while. There were a number of years when we had People's Church. We had services at Kalamazoo College.
People's Church was downtown at that point, wasn't it?
Downtown at that point, yeah. It was in their old building, which is also a very beautiful building. I've seen pictures of it. Eventually, the congregation, this was in the early 1960s, the congregation tried to get back together again. We had some people in the congregation who really wanted to see something happen. So they found a building on Portage Road that was owned by Upjohn, and they rented that for a number of years, and they went in and they refurbished it. And at that point, they had, again, a full-time rabbi. And I think that lasted about 3 years.
The thought was at that point that with the money they had from selling the building, if they had a full-time rabbi, that they would bring enough new people in to be able to afford to put up a new building. And that didn't happen.
Eventually, we went back to People's Church. But People's Church at this time were at 10th Street. We were there for 19 years at that point. 19 years. A long time.
Yeah.
Then something rather miraculous happened. We found out that we were the recipients of a bequest. Thank you. A bequest, which just absolutely changed everything for us. And that's how we were able to accumulate funds to buy our current building, which is on Grand Prairie.
How important is it from a stability standpoint that you do have a place that you're not sharing with another faith group and which you've now been calling home for over 20 years? Does that bring stability to a faith-based organization or any other organization for that matter?
I think it makes a big difference. I think people like to have a place to call home, our own building. In fact, the building we're in now was previously a Baptist church whose membership dwindled and they could no longer support that. So we were able to purchase the building from them. The other part of that, I think, is the religious leader. And for many years, we would have student rabbis come from the Hebrew Union College in Cincinnati. And that was helpful. But again, you know, they're young and energetic and have a lot of ideas, but usually they only stayed for a year or two. So it was hard, really, for people to, I think, completely invest in everything going on. I mean, we had we've all had for a long time a very good religious school, and that helps bring young people in. But yeah, having a building where people know everything is going to be, and we don't have to, you know, fold up at the end of Friday evening service and put everything back into the closet and not be there for another week. You know, certainly, it makes a big difference. I suspect there, you know, if you talk to others in our congregation, it makes a big difference too.
We need to talk about the closet.
Okay.
When we were at People's Church was always absolutely wonderful to us. They just welcomed us. They were just the most perfect people. They had a closet, a separate little closet behind their main sanctuary, which they allowed us to use. So we had people, Helen and Bud Persky, wonderful members of our congregation, longstanding members of Kalamazoo and our temple. They had a beautiful ark, portable ark built. So whenever we would have services, we would pull the ark out of the closet, carry it up the steps to put it on the platform at the People's Church, and then at the end of the services, we would have to take it back down and wheel it around and put it back in the closet. So we were a closet synagogue, really.
The cart with the books on it would be stored there.
Yes.
I can't think of what else, but
yeah, everything. Yeah. And then they also gave us a bigger office that we would share. I think we shared it with the custodian of the People's Church. But we had a corner, so there we had all our religious school stuff. We were really a portable congregation. My take on the difference between being in someone else's home and being in your own home. Thanks to David Lowe, the benefactor of our congregation, because of his bequest, which was huge for us, it was huge. It gave us a chance to have our own home. So instead of being a portable congregation where you were pulling your stuff out of the closet and putting it back, you could put something on the wall. It feels like home. It's very, very important. Now, but continuing to say that, the congregation is again in talking about the future. So the question is, how do you sustain, because we were hoping that the congregation would grow significantly when we had a full-time rabbi. Congregation has grown, but not significantly.
And you've just added a full-time rabbi in the last 2 years,
yes,
correct?
Yes, he joined in 2014. So now the question is, how do we sustain not only the building, but a full-time rabbi? So all of these things are now going on, trying to understand how can we sustain all of this and continue to have all the things that make us feel warm and good about our congregation. We have a very warm congregation, I think it's a very friendly one. It's small. We have, I think, roughly 95 families now. We would love to be over 100. We would be more economically viable if we were just a little bit larger.
Ray Ziering and Jacob Weintraub, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Temple B'nai Israel in Kalamazoo is celebrating its 150th anniversary this year. You can find links with more information about events planned for June 10th through 12th at our website, wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.